The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Well, good morning again. Grateful that you're with us this morning. I hope that everyone had a Merry Christmas, a relaxing, restful time. I know for all the parents in the room with young ones, that may or may not have been the case. Yesterday was the first time that my children woke up after the sun had risen. That was pretty awesome. So it does get better. Things look up. Anyway, so we've been considering the question of God and justice during this end of this Advent season and Christmas time. And it might seem odd, and yet the incarnation has everything to do with God's justice in this world. It is all about what God has done in and through Christ, not only to rescue and redeem individuals, but also to begin a process of restoring all things. And in that process, that is the process, as we saw on Christmas Eve, of God's kingdom breaking into our reality, and it ever growing and increasing. Jesus reign and rule wherever God's people acknowledge and submit to him is operating in our world. And so the people of God then become agents of God's peace in the world. And that is not only is it a significant time to during this Advent season to think about God and justice, but also we are fresh in the midst of about 18 months of all kinds of big questions concerning justice in our culture. And often what has happened is we have answered those questions by drawing ideological or political lines. But what we need to understand is that the follower of Jesus needs to learn how to think Christianly about these issues in our world. We ought not be people who are merely lining up behind a party line, left or right or center or somewhere else, I don't know. But we ought to be the kinds of people who are striving to live God's thoughts after him. Like, we want to think rightly about these things. We want to live in light of how God thinks about these issues. And so while those are very important questions for us to think in a big framework of how do we engage in these conversations in our culture, this morning we're going to bring it closer to home and we're going to think about our personal response to God's work in justice in our world. Like, what ought to be our response? How ought we live in light of a God who is... What should that look like for us? This is why our passage is going to be so helpful this morning. Once again, we've got technical issues. Okay, so once again, we are going to see in our passage just really great, helpful ways to think about our response toward a God who is indeed just. This is why the passage is so helpful, because we want to not just theorize or talk about justice, but we want to learn what it looks like to live in light of a God who is just and who is justice himself. This isn't just some debate out there on social media, but it ought to have an impact for how I think about my life in this world and amongst the community of God's people. And so real simply, we're just going to spend a few minutes this morning meditating, thinking on these verses from Micah chapter 6, that we would see that you and I have been transformed. If you're in Jesus, then you have been transformed to live justly in this world. That's what we need to understand. And where this begins for Micah and where it's going to begin for us is considering all the ways that we become people who strive to live by external performance. Like, we have this tendency to kind of rely upon, build our lives upon, just some sort of external performance. And that's where God begins in chapter 6. I mean, if you go back to verse 1, God has set up this trial against his people. His people have neglected and forgot what God has done for them on their behalf, how he rescued them from Egypt, how he took the curse of Balaam and turned it into a word of blessing. They have forgotten how he has led them across the Jordan. They have forgotten the Lord and therefore, because of that, have failed to reciprocate his love. So God, by his love, rescued, redeemed, did all these great and mighty and wonderful things for his people, and now we sit in this place where the people of God have forgotten what God has done. And worse than that, they've moved away then from God's covenant and this covenantal relationship with the Lord, and they've turned the covenant into a contract, this sort of transactional contract to try to appease God. That's what we see. That's where we pick up in verses 6 and 7. Look again. With what shall I come, the people speaking to God, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before God on high? Here's all the ways that they want to try to appease him. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? That is very precious and pricey offerings. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers? Maybe I can just heap more and more external performance offerings on top of one another, and then God would accept me and be appeased. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? They're looking for a transactional way to appease God by their outward performance. And you and I both know that that hasn't ended in Micah 6, but it continues on in our own day. That you and I, when we're left to ourselves, we know that we have this tendency to lean and rely upon our own performance. What can too often happen is I become more concerned with looking the part than actually having a life that's been changed and transformed from the inside out. Like what can tend to happen is I want to be seen as a certain kind of person. And so what do? I begin the process of pretending and performing. I pretend to be something I'm not. I try to perform in such a way that people see me in a certain kind of light and think certain kinds of things about me. And what we discover is that is not only an exhausting way to live, but it is an impossibility to keep up. I mean, we've seen in really stark and dramatic ways how impossible it is to pretend and perform always. You might be able to pretend and perform out there somewhere, but then when you go home, the people who are closest to you, they see you for who you really are. And it's really hard to hide at home, isn't it? It's really hard to hide when people are close, when they're near. But when life is only lived out there and I can perform, you know, for a certain set of hours while I'm off at work, people can look at me and think that I'm a great person, I'm so kind, I'm so cheerful, I'm so loving, and yet, left to my own devices, because I'm building a life that's based upon performance, somewhere, sometime, I have to stop performing. And so the people who are closest, they see me for who I really am. I might have all the spiritual lingo and yet not have a heart that's been changed and transformed from the inside out. We are unable to continue on in this kind of performance over the long haul. It is just too hard to pretend and to perform all the time. But the good news of Jesus is that God isn't expecting some sort of outward external performance where we look a certain part, where we have certain kinds of lingo and vocabulary. No, what he wants is our hearts. And so if you find yourself in that place where you're exhausted by trying to pretend to be something you're not, or trying to perform in such a way that you live up to somebody's, your own sort of expectations and how people will see you and perceive you, then you need to know that there's rest to be found in Jesus. He's not asking you to perform in those kinds of ways. He's inviting you to find rest in him, that he might have your heart, that he might bring about kind of a transformation of heart that does then extend into every aspect of our lives. We don't have to pretend and perform when we're in Jesus, because he knows us implicitly all the way down, all the way through. And he accepts us because of what he's done in and through Jesus. The invitation is to give ourselves over to Christ, to trust him by faith, to rest in those promises that he accepts us by virtue of what he's done in and through Christ, not see, the reality is this, like that life that I'm pretending to have, that I'm performing in such a way that it looks like I have it, Jesus came to live the life that I can't. Like I can't perform, I can't pretend forever and always. And the good news is Jesus came to live the life that I can't on my behalf, that by virtue of faith in him, I can rest in Jesus. I don't have to be someone I'm not. That's where they got it wrong in Micah 6, and that's where we so often get it wrong in our own day. You see, we can come to a place of resting in Christ and discover that slowly over time, he is transforming us to live justly. And so what has the Lord required? Like we see the snapshot of a transformed life in verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. He has told you what is good. Like he's trying to remind them that you're not unaware of what God has called you to. This isn't something new. This isn't something different. This isn't something special or unique. You know what is good because God has told you. You see, that is true for us in our day as well. Like God has chosen to speak to us, to reveal to us who he is and what he's like. And so if we want to know what is good, if we want to know what he requires of us, then we need to look no further than his word. To spend time listening to his voice through his word. And so maybe this week, as we get to the end of 2021, it would be a great opportunity to begin thinking of what is my Bible intake going to look like in 2022? I want to be a person, like this is true for me, I want to be a person who's living in light of who God is. I want to know him. I want to relate to him in a covenantal way. Like I want to have this depth of relationship that's growing over time. And so therefore, I want to spend time with him in his word. And so this week, what if you just walked out a few moments here and to reflect on this past year and to think about the one to come and what it's going to look like for you to have some regular rhythms of reading God's word that you know him. Not as a way to pretend, not as a way to perform, but as a desire to have your life transformed by the life he gives to us. And what does the Lord require to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our Lord? To do justice, to live justly. I mean, all this means is that if you're in a position to help another, that God is calling us to be the kinds of people who respond in help and service to those around us. And this should point us especially to the most vulnerable in our culture. This language in the Old Testament was often used in relationship to the most vulnerable, the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, the poor. And so God is calling us to be the kinds of people, to be the kind of community that's seeking to serve and care for those around us. Like we ought not just be people who are talking about justice, debating about justice, arguing about justice, giving all of our hot takes about justice. We ought to be the kinds of people who are stepping in to live justly. That's the call on our lives. There came this moment in this past year where, at the middle of 2020, where I was just really overwhelmed with everything that was swirling around in our culture. And I came to this point of realizing that nobody really gives a flip what I think out there somewhere, right? Like, why do any of us have to feel this need to, like, engage in some sort of, you know, kind of global conversation about justice. What I came to see is, like, what we need to be about as God's people here in this community is we need to stop thinking so much about what's going on out there and to dig in, press in to those who are near. So what would it look like for us to be the kinds of people who aren't just living out there somewhere, but are learning to live fully present here, now, caring for one another and those in our community? We need to be the kinds of people who love kindness. This is the word that's used throughout the Old Testament to talk of God's steadfast covenantal love. We need to be the kinds of people who have this growing, steadfast love for people in our lives. Not a love. This isn't a love because of what you bring to the table. Then God will love you and accept you. This is a love that God has for his people just because they're his people. And so we want to grow to become those kinds of people that even when relationships are hard, and they've been hard at times over the last 18 months, haven't they? We want the Lord to grow within us a love and a care for people in our lives, particularly within the community of faith. Our world knows what it looks like for people to be at odds with one another. What would it look like to be the kinds of people who are growing in a relationship with the Lord in such a way that we're caring for one another in deep and profound ways that is, in this cultural moment, extremely countercultural? We must not forget the place of the believing community in this whole process. That we'd be the kinds of people who are living in deep relationship with others in the here and the now, not just the out there somewhere. And then we need to be the kinds of people who walk in humility with our God. We need to walk in humility because proud people don't serve. I mean, proud people might do things for others, but it's not typically because of a steadfast covenantal love. If we want to have that kind of posture towards others, we're going to have to grow in humility. And the only way that we grow in humility is to walk closely with our Lord and to live in deep relationship with others. Because as we press into the Lord, as we continue to grow with brothers and sisters, we are going to be overwhelmed by the needs that are around us. And when we see those needs, what we're going to discover is I am not able, I'm not competent, I'm not equipped to meet all of those needs, and it will indeed humble us to the core. And so we need to walk humbly with God that we might become people who are transformed to live justly. And so just a couple of final thoughts, just a couple of final reminders of what it might look like to live in light of these realities in the coming year. We need to remember the gospel. Remember, the people of God in Micah 6, they forgot what the Lord had done. We need to constantly, continually be reminded of what God has done in and through Christ for us. That might cause within us a growing love and commitment to our Lord. That we would, he has demonstrated his steadfast covenantal love in and through Christ. And so if we dwell on, if we remember that, then God work within us to grow a steadfast covenantal love for him and for others. We need to remember the believing community. Like again, as debates rage around us, let's press people in the here and the now. What's that going to look like for us in the coming year? And I am convinced of this. If we will live that kind of life together, then it will serve as a countercultural witness to our community. I mean, and that's what people need. People need to know that there's a place, that there's a people who are being so transformed by the love and the power of the Spirit of God that he has overcome the division and the barriers and those dividing walls that are meant to separate us culturally. And we are being brought together as his people. And despite our differences politically, ideologically. We are being transformed day by day by the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to become the kinds of people who are known for love over rage. And so that's going to begin as we remember what God has done in and through Christ. And so we take part in the Lord's Supper every week because of this call to remember. To remember what God has done in and through Christ in the gospel message. That he has given his life for you and me. And so if you've trusted Jesus by faith, if you've given your life over to him, then this is an opportunity to worship. To remember what God has done. To be filled with and worship, to be humbled to our core, that in this moment we might freshly experience something of his grace, his mercy, and his kindness. And I'm convinced that over time, as we walk humbly with our God, that we will experience a transformation of heart that will allow us to live justly in this chaotic and unjust world. Father, we thank you for your word, that you have kindly spoken to us. We are not, just as we saw from Micah 6:8, we are not looking for something new, something unique, something that is unknown, but you have spoken to us by your word. You have declared to us what it looks like to live for you, to live in light of who you are. And so, Lord, in these moments, would you help us to respond, and to respond by faith, that we'd remember the gospel of grace, what you've done for us in and through Christ, that we would press in together with brothers and sisters this year, choosing love over outrage, and that as we do that, that we would be a community that's winsome, that's pointing people away from ourselves and to Jesus, because it's not because of us that this kind of transformation occurs. We're not here trying to lean upon our own external performance, but it's because of the Spirit's work in us. It's because of Jesus. And so we want to be the kinds of people who are pointing away from ourselves and highlighting your greatness in Christ. We pray these things by Jesus' name. Amen.